soothe Ulrich's fears, and get those telescope mirrors built with nanomachines. Then you can go back to Pennsylvania with a triumph in your hand. Then you can... The phone sang out, Grant Simpson calling. McClintock put down the forkful of in vitro chicken he was holding. For a moment he debated refusing the call. Is Simpson going to make a pest of himself, calling at all hours of the night or day? Finally, with a resigned sigh, he ordered, On screen, please. Simpson's dark-bearded face appeared on the wall screen, his eyes sorrowful. Mr. McClintock, said Grant. How's everything in Selene? McClintock asked. How's Dr. Cardenas? She's already working to get a complete analysis of the borosilicate glass. Should have it done by tomorrow. Fine. McClintock realized that was the first step. What then? That's why I called. We'll have to get the resources together to produce the raw material she'll need to build a mirror. That shouldn't be a problem, should it? I'll work with Selene's mining and manufacturing department, Grant said. But they'll want some kind of official requisition from Professor Ulrich. McClintock nodded. They'll get it. I'll see to that. The big problem is to get a frame for the mirror over here, so the nanobugs have a structure to work with. McClintock frowned slightly. You mean like the frame of the mirror that cracked? Or its duplicate? Do we have a duplicate? Only the one being used in the mirror lab right now, on the turntable. Ah, where the second mirror is being polished. Right. McClintock thought for a moment. One frame sitting out in the open with the ruined mirror, the other on the turntable where the polishing job is going on. What do you recommend? He asked. We could build a new frame here in Selene, if Ulrich will okay the cost. And the alternative? Grant said without hesitation, Take the frame from the cracked mirror. It's useless anyway. Take it apart and ship the segments here to Selene. We could remelt the broken mirror and use it as raw material for a new one if the nanos don't work for us. McClintock rubbed his jaw for a moment. Decisions are what you're here for, Carter, my lad, he said to himself. All right. We'll break up the cracked mirror, take apart its frame, and ship the pieces to you. Before Grant could reply, McClintock added, Don't worry about Ulrich. I'll get his approval, no problem. Professor Ulrich's office. Ulrich looked alarmed.
Break up the mirror?
You were going to do that anyway, weren't you? McClintock prodded. It's useless as it is now. It was morning, although in this underground mole's nest there's no feeling of day or night, McClintock thought. He had popped in on the professor to report on how Simpson was getting along with Dr. Cardenas, only to find pert little Trudy Yost already in conference with Ulrich. The professor steepled his fingers in front of his neatly bearded face and half-closed his eyes. McClintock looked across the table at Trudy, who was staring at Ulrich, waiting for her boss to make a decision. But all the man was doing was a half-baked imitation of a Zen master deep in meditation. "What do you think, Trudy?" McClintock asked.
"Me?
Does it make any sense to leave that damaged mirror sitting out on the crater floor when Simpson needs its frame to guide the nanomachines assembling a new mirror?" She glanced from McClintock to Ulrich, who had opened his eyes and dropped his hands into his lap. The professor was staring blankly at McClintock. Suppressing an urge to grin, McClintock said silently to the professor, I'm here to get things done for you, whether you like it or not. Well, now I'm doing my job, but you don't like it, do you? You don't like having the decisions taken out of your hands. Trudy asked, Does this mean we've given up on trying to repair the mirror? Before Ulrich could reply, McClintock said firmly, Yes. Turning to the professor, Trudy said in a hesitant, soft little girl's tone,
Well then, I guess the mirror isn't really of any use to us in its present condition, Professor. And if Grant needs the frame for the nanomachines?
Her voice trailed off.
You agree then, Dr. Yost? Ulrich asked.
Sitting up a little straighter, Trudy replied, Yes, sir. Yes, I do.
If this nanotechnology scheme doesn't work, Ulrich said, we will have wasted 2 years of work.
Almost jauntily, McClintock replied,
So what?
If the nanomachines don't get the job done, you'll be no worse off than you are now. You have nothing to lose.
Ulrich began to steeple his fingers again, realized it, and pressed his hands flat on the desktop instead.
Anita Halleck is on her way here, you know.
I didn't know, McClintock admitted, feeling a pang of alarm.
Anita Halleck? Trudy asked.
McClintock knew perfectly well who the woman was. Director of the IAA's Space Telescope Project, he said to Trudy.
Space Interferometer, Ulrich corrected.
McClintock dipped his chin in acknowledgement. Interferometer, he murmured. Trudy looked halfway between curious and suspicious.
Why is she coming to Farside? She asked.
To check on our progress, what else? Ulrich said. To gloat over us.
McClintock said, she's got nothing to gloat about. They're nowhere near getting any of their mirror segments into space. It'll take them years.
And how long will it take us?
Ulrich asked. His voice was low, but murderously cold.
We'll be finished before they are, McClintock said, with an assurance he didn't truly feel.
We'll be finished before they get their mirrors put together in space. Inwardly, he realized that the International Astronautical Authority had the resources of the entire Earth to draw upon. Yes, their project was grandiose, much more complex and demanding than Farside's. But all Farside had, so far, was the resources of the moon. Cellini's governing council was as generous to the Farside project as it could manage, but there were strict limits to how much they could afford. McClintock could add significantly to those resources if he chose to. Ulrich knew it, and McClintock knew that it was the only reason the professor tolerated his presence at Farside.
We'll be finished and taking data before they get even one of their mirrors assembled, Trudy added bravely.
McClintock thought she really meant it. Well, he mused, it's good to have underlings who believe in what they're doing. Ulrich was clearly unhappy, but he agreed to break up the damaged mirror and ship its frame to Cellini.
You've made the right decision, sir, McClintock said.
Trudy looked happy about it, too. As she got up from her chair, she said to the professor,
You don't even have to tell Mrs. Halleck about the cracked mirror.
Ulrich, still seated behind his desk, smiled glumly.
Do you think for one moment that she doesn't already know about it? She knows everything that goes on here.
Trudy's face fell.
Then why is she coming?
To gloat over us, Ulrich snapped.
McClintock shook his head as he got up from his chair. I don't believe so, Professor. Anita Halleck doesn't waste her time with emotions like gloating. She's coming here to get something from us.
And what might that be?
Ulrich demanded acidly.
Nanotechnology, Trudy blurted. She wants to use nanomachines just like we do.
That's impossible. Nanotechnology is banned on Earth in all its forms.
But her telescopes won't be on Earth, Trudy pointed out. They'll be in space.
But they will be constructed on Earth.
Or at Cellini, Trudy said.
McClintock broke into a knowing grin.
She's not coming to see us here at Farside. She's coming to talk to Cardenas over at Cellini's nanotech lab. Her visit here is merely a cover.
Ulrich looked plainly unconvinced, but he muttered, Could the woman be that devious?
Does the Pope live in the Vatican? McClintock quipped.
Cafeteria. Once they were outside Ulrich's office, in the drab rock-walled corridor, Trudy asked McClintock,
Do you really think Mrs. Halleck is after nanotechnology?
McClintock smiled down at her. It was your suggestion, remember?
I know, but do you think that's why she's coming here?
McClintock started down the corridor, and Trudy followed beside him, hurrying slightly to keep pace with his longer strides.
It's a reasonable assumption, he said. We'll just have to wait and see.
They walked along in silence for a few moments. McClintock thought the corridor was depressingly gloomy. With the pipes and conduits running along the ceiling, it reminded him of the basement in some dreary public building. This entire Farside facility looks more like a prison than a research center, he thought. I may be the warden's special overseer, but I'm still in jail here just like the rest of them. He noticed that Trudy was looking up at him.
Where are you heading? He asked her.
Oh, she looked startled.
I was just following you. I thought, I guess I wasn't really thinking.
She smiled sheepishly. With a knowing nod, McClintock said, Let's take a bite of lunch.
It's kind of early for lunch, she said.
I know.
I like it better when the cafeteria isn't crowded, don't you?